Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Ham Nation, episode number 38, March 6th, 2012. The Dayton Hamvention makes their announcement for their awards. Good evening, everybody. It's Bob Heil, K9EID, and I'm back. I've been on the road, but here I am. And I missed everybody. Gordo, how are you doing in Costa Mesa?
We are just fine, Bob, and what an exciting show we have tonight. So back to you to bring on the guests.
Well, everybody's, I've had all kinds of emails about where I was and what I did. Well, here's what I've been doing. There's Mr. Frampton and I, if you can see that shot. Been out with Frampton in the talk box and making good music and had a good time. It was great. So we're happy he's on tour. And if he's come to your town, hit that show. He's playing the 35th anniversary of his wonderful double set album. So that's where we were, Gordo. And you guys did a great job keeping it all together. I got to see a little bit here and there on the replay. So here we are. And we got a lot of things going on. I got to do something. Gordo, the other day I was on Sunday. And do you remember when Cheryl talked about the it was a club in somewhere up in Canada, New Brunswick, St. John's.
Yeah, I remember that.
Well, I'm on Sunday, and I'm listening around, and I'm going, wait a minute. And I'm going to play you just a little bit. This is their special event. This is them, Sunday.
Oh, wow.
Okay. This was their 75th anniversary, and I was so happy I got to work them that day. But it was just ironic. And for all of you that are really not into ham radio yet, or you're getting your feet wet, that is what makes it so much fun. Here I am tuning around the dial, and I hear this wonderful wonderful station that we just talked about. How about that, Gordo? Ham radio first class.
Great. Huh? Yeah. It was quite a weekend, too, with the contest going on. Band conditions were great. But I tell you, since the X-Class flare on Sunday night, early Monday morning, the bands went But luckily for the weekend, it was a great time on HF.
Yeah, it was really good. Really good. One thing that we should do, I get a lot of emails. People ask, how do we find the chat room? And all you have to do is go to TWiT. TWiT.IRC and dial that into your computer and sign in, and you're there. And so you can go see the chat room. We want to say hello to everybody. Cheryl's watching you, and she'll be on later and collect some of your questions if you have any. So we want to get everybody involved in the chat room that we can. And got a lot of things coming up this weekend. I think they got some things going on in Charlotte. Where are you going this week? You got something going on, Gordon?
Yeah, I'm finishing out my extra class book and the audio. That's the mixer is helping me with that, along with Jewel Man here. And then weekend after next, it's the M Squared Antenna folks having a one-day get-together up in Fresno.
Yeah, that's always a really good thing. Mike Stahl and his sons put on at their factory where they build the M Squared antennas. It's really cool. Well, we are so honored tonight. We have an exclusive here on Ham Nation. We're going to bring on as our first guest Michael Coulter. And Michael is the chairman of the Dayton Hamvention. Michael, how are you? And you're doing well in the Dayton area?
Oh, yeah. Doing great here in Dayton area. And it's an honor to be on the program tonight. And to be able to make some special announcements. Hamvention planning is going great. Looks like it's going to be a wonderful year. We've already made arrangements for some good weather and some great guests and visitors. So, it's all happening very well here. It's a big event, as most, I think everyone knows about it. But if you're new to amateur radio, it's probably the premier event for amateur radio. Been going on since 1952.
Yeah, one of the big features that I always note of Dayton, and my first year there was 1959, when Bob Drake, who was the owner and president of the great Drake Company, invited me to come and talk about my single sideband 2 meter system with my 128 element antenna. And it's like, oh, okay. Well, I was just a kid, and I'd put all this stuff together, and there were 600 people in the Biltmore downtown, and there was Art Collins in one room, Bill Halligan in another, Bob Drake in another. It was all built around forums, teaching us how to build, what to do, and that has been the basis of the amateur radio code, I guess, is teaching each other. And boy, you guys do it best. How many forums do you know? How many you'll have this year, Mike?
Not off the top of my head. As a matter of fact, my brother is working on setting all that up, and he's going to have that posted on our website before long. But we get more information about forums, more questions about forums, I think, than anything else. People love the forums. We have so many people would like to give a forum that we don't always have the space for everyone. We try to mix it up and do the very best we can. But, it's big. Several rooms going at one time.
Yeah, I really, really enjoy all of that. And I don't get to take advantage of a lot of it because I'm behind my booth talking to a lot of our friends. But, boy, it's great. And, Gordon, I think you and I are on tap to do something this year there. So we'll have to figure out something really cool, and we'll make it happen, huh?
Oh, we sure will, Bob, and look forward to always seeing the Dayton Hamvention Committee. They work on this from the day after the Dayton show that has just ended. So 364 days later, the Dayton team turns out. And I can't wait to see what announcement we've got coming in from Michael. So, Michael, what do you have to announce? We're all listening.
All right. Well, I'd like to announce our award winners this year from Hamvention 2012. And I'll start off first, if I may, with the Amateur of the Year Award. And that goes to Mr. S. Surrey. And his call
is...
Wow. Do you know him?
Oh, I sure do. Wow.
He is the founder of the National Institute of Amateur Radio in India. And that is a big deal. You know, we take for granted a lot of the things that we have here in this country, and they moved through quite a few things. And I have actually been there to India, and I've seen his location and have met Mr. Sir. It is a lot of passion there for amateur radio. And Mr. Surrey has pushed this on and on for many years. And so the committee, he was nominated by his folks in India. And the committee just unanimously said, this is the guy. So he is our Amateur of the Year. So we are very proud of him. So,
that is terrific.
Yeah, there's a lot of people. I've got a lot of emails from folks in India that are tuned in right now watching the program. And I'd like to say hello to all my friends in India. So if I could, I'd like to move on to our next award winner. And that is our Technical Achievement Award, and that's Joel Hallis. And
yeah.
Joel's an interesting guy. I've never met him, but I tell you what, I love his article in QSD. And
you bet.
Probably know him as The Doctor Is In.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what I like about what he does, he'll take very simple, he'll answer simple questions, he'll answer very technical questions in an elegant way. And he brings it down to where, you know, even I can understand it. You know, I know. That's true. So, We're real pleased to give that award to Joel. He's very deserving of it, and we're excited to give this to him here in during Hambention. Our special achievement award goes to Stephen Betza, and Stephen has he enjoys teaching in a wide range of students. But he does a lot of experiments, and one that he's done is a special project called Blue Horizon. And he immediately got 38 hymns or 38 people to get their amateur radio license. He has set a world record for the highest amateur balloon vehicle. I think it's 125,000 feet. And there's been a lot of new technical feats that he has shown and been able to demonstrate through the flight. So he also continues to coordinate and contribute to colleges and high schools in technical arena, and especially towards electronics engineering and amateur radio. So we're pleased that to have Stephen Betza recognized as a special achievement award this year.
Oh, that's great. Just great.
Now I have one more announcement, and that is some years back we decided to add the Club of the Year, because if you really look at amateur radio, it's clubs that make things happen. You know, our club, the Dayton Amateur Radio Association, is sort of spearheads the Hambention every year, and we get help from clubs in the region. But we look for clubs that really promote the spirit of amateur radio the very best they can in as many elements as they can in a very positive way. So this year, we are awarding the Deutscher Amateur Radio Club in Germany, the DARC, Club of the Year. It's pretty big.
Oh, wow.
Pretty big event for them. I've gotten a lot of emails back from them. I believe some of them are watching. And if they're not watching now, I think it's 2 a.m. there. but we're really excited to award them. Now, they are quite an amateur radio club. I believe they sponsor Friedrichshafen as well. And these kind of events, like Hambention, Friedrichshafen, are important for amateur radio and all the ham fests that go on in the country. So we're really excited that our four winners, and we like to call it sort of the Academy Awards of Amateur Radio.
That is great.
Yeah, I want to mention a couple of folks here. You know, Frank Biafor is our awards chairman, WS8B, and Dave Crawford, our assistant, KF4KWW, and they put in a lot of time to research this. And then we have several other people, very astute people that try to help us sift through all the applications and ideas that we have. So that's the big news, and I am glad to announce it here first. So I appreciate the time here. I appreciate what all of you gentlemen do for amateur radio, and it's great that we can all work together as a team to continue the hobby, to bring the excitement and just the great experience that amateur radio is.
All right. Well, Michael, thank you so much. Wow, what great awards, what great recipients all the way halfway around the world. And thanks to you. And for those going to Dayton, be sure and get there early, because you may hear Michael strumming away on the guitar. Not strumming, making the guitar sounds happen. So, Bob, what do you think? Some very award-winning members, huh?
Yeah, he can make that guitar go. I am always fortunate to go to the Christmas party of the Dara Club, and boy, they play it up right, let me tell you. So thanks a lot for doing this on Ham Nation, Michael, and congratulations to all the winners. And it's a wonderful experience. I know the feeling. I was the Ham of the Year in 1982, much younger, and I can't say I had any more passion in it. I do now, because I just love this hobby so much, and a great deal of what I have behind me and what I've done through my career is because of being able to go to Dayton and see all this stuff and the flea market. What is there, 1,500 spaces out there, Michael, in the parking lot?
Yeah, at least. It takes a full day, maybe a day and a half to walk through it. It's quite an event.
Huge. It really is. And for a look at the flea market, W5KUB always rolls Dayton, and you can Google W5KUB for details. Plus, Julian right here, along with others, will be at Dayton. And what you don't see live, you'll see right here on Ham Nation. Bob, back to you.
Our own George Thomas is going to be there this year. I'm really thrilled that George is going to be with us. And I know he will have his video camera going. So we'll have great coverage of the Dayton Hamvention on Ham Nation. So, Michael, thanks very much. And we congratulate all the winners. And, Joel Hallis and his wife are great people. And I'm really pleased that that Joel got that Technical Achievement Award because he deserves it. And I don't know Mr. Suri, but I look forward to meeting him. And, of course, Steve Betza. And then that great club, because that club in Germany, they sponsor a lot of German contests there. So that's great. Thanks so much and good night to you in Dayton, Michael. And we'll talk to you very soon.
Okay. Thank you. And I hope to see everybody out there this year in Dayton, Ohio. Look me up personally. I'm usually easily spotted. Our theme this year is internationally connected. So you sort of live that with the awards this year. Thanks to all of you. Appreciate
it. It's great. Good stuff from Dayton. I love that town. It's so much fun to go to the Dayton Hamvention. So if you haven't done so, you better go get your old hotel booked up. So let's see. I understand that Robert Sudock is ill this week, Gordon. So I guess we're going to go see what Don Wilbanks has and get some news of amateur radio from Newsline. So let's see what Don's got cooking for us. Take her away, Don.
From Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 1803, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Tuesday, March 6th, 2012. Failure of the batteries that powered the ham radio payload of a high-altitude balloon that was designed to float from Texas to China seems the likely cause of a total communications failure with the Near Space Project. The South Texas Balloon Launch Team lofted the high-altitude scientific balloon experiment known as BLT-28 on February 11th from near Katy, Texas. The balloon was supposed to rise to over 100,000 feet and float for several days and hopefully reach its target of Nanjing, China. But contact was lost with the balloon's APRS tracker just south of the Louisiana coast at an altitude of 45,763 feet. Andrew McAllister, W5ACM, is part of the group that launched BLT-28. He says the power supply was made up of commercial 1.5-volt lithium cells. According to post-flight experiments, several of the same type of batteries were put directly on dry ice where they went from 1.5 volts down to 2-tenths of a volt. And when warmed up, they did not return to normal output. McAllister speculates that it could have been that cold just after reception of the last packet message from BLT-28. He notes that the temperature sensor system was not guaranteed below minus 40 degrees Celsius. There will be a second attempt to float a balloon from Texas to China, but first up will be a test flight of the thermal insulating system for the batteries and payload. W5ACM speculates that should happen sometime in May. A milestone for manned ham radio operations from Earth orbit. Eris Operation Team Mentor Charlie Sufana, AJ9N, reports that the total number of amateur radio on the International Space Station, or Eris-sponsored ISS-to-Earth school events, has passed the 700 mark. The 700th school contact was with the Academy at Shawnee City in Louisville, Kentucky. It took place via telebridge with ON4ISS on February 14th. The special John Glenn event to commemorate the 50th anniversary of Perth, Australia's City of Lights on February 20th marked event number 701. For those hams not aware, Eris offers an opportunity for students in schoolrooms to experience the excitement of amateur radio by talking directly with crew members on board the International Space Station. Further information on the Eris program is available at eris.org. Yet another city has discovered the value of having trained ham radio operators as part of its emergency communications plan. This as community leaders in Arlington, Massachusetts announced that they are seeking radio amateurs willing to help the town with its emergency response network. Officials say they're looking for ham radio operators to become volunteers and help out in case the town's communication system was to stop working during an emergency. Arlington used a grant from the U.S. Department of Homeland Security to buy a ham radio gear for emergencies. Any Massachusetts ham living in the area who is interested in volunteering should contact Fire Chief Robert Jefferson by email to rjefferson@town.arlington.ma.us. And while on the subject of amateur radio emergency communications, our prayers go out to everyone affected by last week's devastating tornado outbreak in the southern United States. Reports are still coming in, and no doubt amateur radio operators are working tirelessly to help any way they can. Speaking personally, as a native Oklahoman, I'm all too familiar with what these sudden and violent storms can do, so I know I speak for everyone both here and at Ham Nation and Amateur Radio Newsline when I say we are behind you 100%. And speaking of the Ham Nation crew, Gary Pierce, KN4AQ, is releasing a series of videos shot at the Orlando Hamcation in mid-February. This is part of his Ham Radio Now series that features interviews with the true movers and shakers of the hobby in the 21st century. The latest release includes a very in-depth interview with CQ Magazine editor Rich Moseson, W2VU. In it, Gary talks to him for almost an hour about how CW is faring now that it's no longer required, about the CQ family of magazines new digital option, and a little about ham radio video production. The video is entitled Ham Radio Now, Episode 2, The Orlando Interviews. More info about this new series is online at arvideonews.com. Well, that'll do it from Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news, brought to you each and every week for nearly 35 weeks at arnewsline.org. Sitting in for Robert Sudock, WB6FDF, I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW. 73, we'll see you next time here on Ham Nation.
Coming up now.
Thank you very much, Don. It's nice to have you back, and we'll be looking forward to more reports from you, and I absolutely have to say that we've had some real damage in this area, the Branson, Missouri, and all throughout Tennessee and Indiana. Gosh, it's just really something. And I hope that everyone understands that if it wasn't for amateur radio, a lot of those people would not have had communication. So God bless all you guys out there with your emergency communications. That's really great. Gordo, we've been trying to get things together and have this guest on for a long time, and we got it happening. But not only do we get this guest on, we get Robin with him. So here we go. Everybody's heard of QRZ.com. How many times a day do you punch up QRZ, Gordo?
Every day, 8 to 10 times, maybe 20.
Yeah. Ooh, me too. Well, here is the guy that thought of it, that created it, and takes care of it. Fred Lloyd, you are really something, and we're honored to have you on Ham Nation tonight.
Well, thank you, Bob. It's a pleasure to be on. I've been looking forward to meeting up with you and Gordon in the same room, so to speak. I don't think that's ever happened with the three of us in the same room at the same time. but it's a pleasure, and I'm really glad to be here tonight.
All right, well, and hello to Robin. We are glad to have you with us, Robin.
Well, thank you. I have nothing else.
Yeah. Fred, we want to know about how you got the idea. How did QRZ start? Give us the story of what went through your mind and how you got this marvelous thing going.
Well, it started out, I was surfing the internet at work instead of doing my job back in about 1992. And some guys on the internet mentioned that a copy of the FCC database could be purchased from the government. And it was pretty expensive. It was like $700, and nobody wanted to do it. And so I thought, well, with a group this large, it should be possible. So I went ahead and bought it and told everyone on the group that if they sent me a tape, I would make them a copy for $20, and we could split the cost. And that worked out real well. I made about $100. I mean, 100 copies. And 6 months later, it was time to get the data out again because it was only updated once every 6 months. But I didn't really feel like making copies again on tape. And I thought, CD-ROMs are really cool. And so I set out to find a publisher that would allow me to piggyback on the back of one of their existing shareware titles. And instead they said, well, why don't you just make a ham radio CD? And I thought, well, that's an idea. And so I put the CD together and ordered 100 copies for myself and peddled those on the internet. And but I only had internet at work. I didn't have it at home or anything. And so I set up a dial-up bulletin board out of my house in Arizona. and started taking calls on the bulletin board. And then the following year, I met some people that had actual internet service. They were an ISP, a fledgling ISP. And I talked them into letting me put QRZ on their backbone, and they did. At the time, I just wrote a letter to the network authority and asked them if I could have the name QRZ. They said, sure. That was how you registered a domain name back then. You just wrote an email. And so that's how I got the domain name. And that was 1993. I think it was October that QRZ first went on. And it was just operated as a hobby for the first couple of years. And by about 1996 or so, we started taking on advertisers. And along the way, we started. I just kept adding features because I'm a programmer by trade, and that's what I do for a living. And I just loved working on it. It was sort of the labor of love. And one thing led to another, and here we are now, 17 years later, with 500,000 registered members, 60,000 AMs every day coming to the site, wow. And like 18 million pages a month.
Wow. That's a great story. And we love all the news items. And then, of course, you can go shopping and see all kinds of wonderful gear for sale. And the best thing, of course, is to tie it into all of your computers today. And as you're working somebody, you find out who they are, where they are, and see pictures of their stations. What a great idea and what a wonderful service. And we appreciate you keeping it all going, because I'm sure that it takes a tremendous amount of maintenance and watching all this go for so many hundreds of thousands. So it's wonderful that we have you to do that, Fred. Do you have... you have any envisions of some crazy and wild things coming up, or are we going to be status quo for a while? I know you just made a change here not too long ago, so what's in store?
Well, last year, we've been about a year, and since last January, we moved to the cloud. We no longer own our own servers anymore. Instead, we lease the entire space and the high-performance networking all from Amazon.com, oddly enough. They've got one of the largest data centers now in the world. They also host Netflix, for example, and the New York Times. There's a lot of people that use their servers, and we're happy to be there. That's worked out really well for us. It's allowed me also to travel around and visit ham fests during the summertime and not have to worry about an equipment breakdown, because the first year I went out, I did have an equipment breakdown when I was 2,000 miles from home. And it was sweating bullets time, let me tell you. But we finally got it going. I couldn't really operate the site without the volunteers, though. We have about 20 volunteers all over the world who come on, and they help other users with their profiles, help other users get their call signs into the database, answer questions, and things of that nature. That's one of the secrets of QRZ, is it really is still operated entirely by hams. And even though I'm doing the programming and all in the background, it's the volunteer staff that really makes it work. And my hat goes off to them. I just have to thank them over and over again for all the wonderful help. That's the way our community is. People help each other, and people want to participate. And I couldn't be happier, and I really feel like the luckiest guy in the world when it comes to that. The next thing that I want to announce is that coming soon this summer, we're going to have we're going to bring on a new general manager to QRZ. This is a shock to some people. I'm still going to be here. I'm not going anywhere. But our new general manager is going to start a series on the site called "A Hamsel in Distress." The Hamsel in Distress is Jamie Gavin. She's Robin's daughter. She's going to get her amateur radio license, and she's going to document and blog about the whole thing so that we can all follow what it is, not only to go from zero to being licensed, but also to be a female in this hobby. And we all know that there certainly aren't enough of them today. And so she's also an excellent writer. She's got a master's degree in counseling. She's going to give everybody some advice, whether they want it or not. So very, very happy about that. And And she's going to be watching the ship here while we're out running around and giving our talks and stuff all around the country. So that's what's coming up.
That's great.
Oh, that's terrific. Well, listen, when she's ready for study materials, let me know and we'll send her up a bunch, both audio and video, okay?
I've already given her your package, Gordon.
Oh, that is great. Well, that is terrific. Well, let me turn you back over to Bob, but thanks to Robin. We saw Robin in there earlier, and we saw you, of course, you and Robin at Quartz Fest. How long is your vehicle?
That's kind of a personal question there. Actually, it's a 45-footer. It's too big to go into the national parks, and but big
it's
enough.
Long enough.
It's big enough. Now you guys want to take her everywhere. It's long enough to stay up with the big rigs on the highway, though. That's what's important. It's a sturdy.
Well, this broadcast will go down in history. Well, thank you, Robin, for determining the length of that vehicle. And I'll tell you, when you go inside and you see the Fred and Robin Mobile at Quartz Fest, it is quite a masterpiece on wheels. All right, Bob, back to you. Go ahead.
Are you guys planning to come to Dayton? And if you do, will you have the Zed with you?
This year, we can't make it. Our Hamsel in Distress is getting married. And so I'm going to be playing Father of the Bride here all during the month of the last part of April. And so, yeah, it pretty much makes it impossible for us to go this time. But I'm looking forward to next year. And I'm also going to try and twist Mike's arm to see if I can get in one of those presenting slots, because I'm going to be coming out with a new program, a new talk, and possibly a booklet to go along with it about how to update and maintain your QRZ webpage. We get a lot of questions about that. And so that's going to be our next seminar series, so to speak.
Well, Fred, I will absolutely guarantee you without equivocation, if you did a forum at Dayton, that room will be jammed and it will be standing room only. And I don't think there'll be any question. What do you think, Gordo, if Fred wants to talk about QRZ to get a crowd together? That'll be fun. Yeah.
That really is the truth. Well, QRZ is now the hallmark home word of amateur radio operators. We used to say, well, look it up in the call book. Now it's look it up on QRZ. Thanks so much, Fred and Robin, for all you've done for ham radio. And, well, I've got to go now and look up some things on QRZ.
Well, thanks so much for being here, both of you, and taking your time. And we'll have you back on again. If you got anything new to tell everybody what's going on in the site, let us know. And we always have a microphone channel open in Petaluma for you guys, and we'll be here to help. And thanks for all that you do for amateur radio, Fred.
It's my pleasure, Bob, and we'll look forward. We'll come back when we've got the Hamsel in Distress with us and introduce you to our new manager
handler.
Yeah,
I'm retiring, and Jamie will be the new handler.
No.
All right. Well, congratulations to her also on her marriage. Yeah. Well, we appreciate you being here, and we'll be listening for any new things that's happening on QRZ.com. And we'll know it because how many times a day we all look at it. Thanks very much, Fred. It's our pleasure to have you here on Ham Nation tonight. Good night to you and good night to Robin. Thanks for coming by.
Good night, folks. Good night.
All right. And if you guys haven't ever checked out QRZ.com, you better go do it. There's just a wealth of information there. It's a wonderful site. Well, we're going to shift our whole view a little bit north of where we are to Colorado. And I understand that we got some things happening. Let's see. Amanda, are you in the seat there with Jeff? What are you guys doing in Colorado tonight?
Oh, hello, Bob. We're enjoying the warm weather we've had today. 72 degrees in Colorado in March. All right. So we're happy about that.
I see you have Gordo's favorite headphones on, the pink.
Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm. I think we need to get some of those for Gordon. He'll be great teaching his classes with pink headsets. What do you think?
I like it. I like the idea a lot. Of course, I have Jeff here shaking his head. No, no, no.
Oh, golly. Have we determined as to whether we're going to call this Tails or Tails, Gordo? Have you figured that out yet?
Well, you know, it's quite controversial. Let's leave it up to the chat room. Chat room, yeah. The question is it Ham Tails, T-A-L-E-S, or as you see right here, is it Ham Tails? So that is the big question. Chat room, it will be up to you, Tails or Tails. Over.
Good call, Gordon.
Oh, golly. Are you going to give us one of your tales of good news tonight, Amanda? Who's cooking in the hot seat for you?
I do. Actually, I have two because one's really super quick. And this one's great. You guys are going to love it. Imagine your first 80-meter dipole, homebrew, of course. You stick it up and you stick it on the Bell utility telephone pole outside your house. Okay. Mm. And the utility guy goes around and he sees it there and knows it's not supposed to be there. So he knows that he's supposed to report it into the cops. Okay. So he calls the cops. Someone comes out to report it for him. And it ends up that it's Mr. Police Officer's own homebrew dye pole. I know.
Okay.
And that comes from WA3SYR, and that's Bill Groh in Shamokin, Pennsylvania. So thank you, Bill, for sharing that. And he's retired now, so he said it was okay because he was retired.
Oh, and then, that is great. And, you know, none of us have ever attached anything to a phone pole out back. I mean, we would never do anything. Thank you, Jewel, man. We would never do that. Right, Amanda?
No. Gordon, you crack me up. I'm sorry. I'm still cracking up over Robin and her "the length is okay" statement. Sorry. Okay. All right. This next one comes from, he is George Skia, and he is from South Wales. South Wales watches us, you guys. So congratulations, everybody. Anyhow, he tells me that the local club in South Wales, and that is Mike Charlie Zero, Yankee Alpha Delta, have a weekly sked on 80 meters. And unfortunately, they didn't have a suitable antenna. But one of the older members of the club suggested that a good one to try making work would be a double bazooka made from RG-58 coax and mounted close to the ground to achieve a near vertical incidence refraction for local contacts, as there is a large hill between the QTH and other club members. So with that said, the antenna was made up in about an hour or so from some of that RG-58. And was hidden in the hedgerow at the bottom of the garden at a height of about 4 feet with some really good results. So they were really loving their antenna. All was going well until the day came for the local garbage collection. The bottom of my garden adjoins a narrow lane down which the rather large garbage truck has to go down to get to some of the properties. And as probably happens in your area, the driver can be somewhat quick and in a hurry there. So he was going at a pretty fair rate, he says, and brushing along the hedgerow. Well, somehow the antenna caught on the truck and it went flying down the lane attached to the truck along with half the garden furniture. Oh, no, you guys. Anyhow, that was the... he says that he didn't know that RG-58 could be so strong. Well, anyhow, at the end of that, they decided that antenna idea was no longer such a good idea. So, again, George in South Wales, thank you so much for sharing with you and your club. Since you didn't name any names, I'm guessing they weren't going along with the ride on this one.
Oh, that is great. Well, long live RG58U, and yeah, it can tow a lot of stuff behind it. Oh, that's great. All right. Well, thanks, Amanda. And again, for those of you in the chat room, the question is tails or T-A-L-E-S. Bob, back to you.
Well, we really appreciate this new segment on Ham Nation, and now it's up to all of you, every one of you. You're going to have to send an email and tell us your stories, good or bad. Don't be embarrassed. We all have crazy things that's happened to us in our amateur radio life. So let Amanda know, and she's going to pick out the best one each week. So
now, Bob, Amanda, I have a new subject.
You do?
For next week. Since it's, you know, coming up on St. Patty's Day, and that's the luck of the Irish there. So I want to hear about your luckiest happenings in ham radio. Tell me anything, whether a radio fell out of the sky into your lap or you made $1 million off of your radio. I want to hear it. Okay. So hamtales at live.com, you guys.
And of course, that's ham T-A-I-L-S for those listening on the podcast. And we look forward to next week when you can bring us some more of your good tales. That's wonderful.
Thank you, Bob. Thanks, Gordo.
All right. And thanks to your engineer, Jeff.
Well, thanks, Amanda. And yes, we'll remember the time we put the handheld on the top of the car and began to drive away going, oh, my God, my handheld's still on top of the car.
Oh, yes.
Oh, that's great. Well, good evening to you and Jeff in Colorado, and we appreciate you putting all this together for us. So I smell smoke, and it's not my soldering iron because mine's cold. So what that means, Gordon, is evidently we have something happening in Mississippi. What do you think?
I think it's good.
Hi, Bob.
All right, time for George. Get out your smoke masks, because here he comes, George, smoke and solder.
Hi, guys. Good to see y'all tonight. No solder in this episode, but possibly a little bit of smoke. You know, every now and then you come up with a unique situation and you need a solution for it, and that's what I'm working on tonight. And you may notice I've got a drum back here behind me with all these guitars. At the previous guest sites there, I thought we drummers need to be equally represented. You know, when you like to build and experiment, modify and repair things the way I do, sometimes you run into a case where you just don't have the tool to do the job. Oftentimes you can run up to the store and pick up the tool. Sometimes, though, you can't, or the tool is just too expensive. Now, what do you do in a case, though, when the tool just simply doesn't exist that you need? Well, you build it yourself. And that's what I'm doing this week. I had a project in mind that I wanted to construct, but didn't have the tool for the job. So, let's build our Dremel tool table saw. Now, I'm no carpenter, but we'll start by cutting a 1x8 board to the length we want. I want to make some real square cuts of copper-clad board, so you can see that the table saw is probably a necessity. As I said, I'm no carpenter. Now we'll sand the board to remove any splinters and rough edges. Now, I'm no painter either, but I do have a can of polyurethane, and I'm not afraid to use it. I believe the best blade for our Dremel tool table saw is going to be these little 1.5-inch metal cutoff wheels. Now, this should work great for cutting copper-clad board, but there's a problem. The Dremel tool itself is over 1.5 inches wide, so the saw blade's not going to come all the way down to the table. Fortunately, Dremel makes this little flex shaft extension that you can hook to the end of the Dremel tool and gives you a handheld tool. Now, it's not nearly as wide as the Dremel tool itself, And as you see here, it has plenty of depth to reach down through the table and saw any PC board that we want. Now, I've taken my table board and drilled three holes through it so I don't split the wood with these three screws. And then I cut two strips of wood, one to mount the Dremel flex shaft to, and one to raise the first strip from the table. I drilled holes through these as well for the same reason. And in addition to the screws, I use Elmer's Ultimate Glue to hold this contraption together. Rather than have the saw blade come up out of the table, I decided to mount the saw above the table. We'll use two of these little clamps with a rubber coating on them to secure the Dremel tool, and the rubber should help hold it from turning as well as protecting the tool from damage. We'll slide one over either end of the tool. To secure the tool to the mount, we're going to use two of these 3-inch long screws. I put a wing nut on first and then a washer. And I've drilled the holes big enough that the screws can go down through there and have a little bit of play, not much, but just enough that they can go through there without binding as we're trying to adjust. Now on the other side of the screw, I'm going to put a washer on each, and then we'll put on two nuts. Next, I'll slide the clamps that are around the Dremel flex shaft over the two screws. Then we'll put on a toothed lock washer and one more nut. Once I've got the lock washer and the nut on, then I'll twist the nut at the bottom of the clamp to where I've got the clamp securely fastened at the end of the screw. Now we've pretty much completed the project. We'll adjust the nuts here next to the wood and the wing nuts on top to adjust the height of our cutoff wheel. And we'll also adjust these individually to set the correct angle on the cutoff wheel. I'm not a big fan of sawdust flying all over the shop, so I'm going to take this big mouth water bottle and cut it with a razor blade to make a little hood that will fit over our cutting tool. I'll plug my shop back into the top, and we can trap all this dust before it gets spread around. Now we'll also need to cut a slot in the side so that our hood can fit over the shaft of our Dremel tool. I'll need to cut a little slot right below the cutting wheel so that when we're sawing PC boards, our cutting wheel won't be sawing into the wood. We'll fire up the shop vac and the Dremel tool and then press down on the end while it's loosened to cut that slot. Now I'll adjust the position of the wheel in and out so that we cut a slot wide enough to accommodate the wheel. We're ready to adjust the tool for usage, so we'll adjust the lower nut and tighten up the wing nut to where we've got the blade down in the wood at the depth that we want it. Now the back screw will be used to adjust the angle of the blade, so we'll get out a square and make sure that we've got that blade exactly straight up and down. We will need to do a little adjusting on the back screw. Perfect. Now, rather than build guides onto the table, I'm just going to use my square to guide the PC board straight through the saw. It looks like we got a perfect cut there. You can't see any of the pencil lead remaining where we cut. It's one little burr on the bottom. We'll clip that off, but overall, I would say success. That was a lot of fun. And you know, it's one of those projects I kind of made up as I went along. Now, next week, we'll show you why I needed to cut that PC board perfectly square. But I won't say shocked, but I'll say pleased that it did work out.
That was great, George. And when the camera comes back to me, they're going to say, what happened to Bob? Well, I'm going to do some things here that I've had so many requests that almost jammed my email. But that's okay. Keep them coming. And George, I really appreciate that. That was a great piece, and I hope everybody understands how important it is to use those kind of tools in amateur radio. What we're about to do here, and we're going to fast forward to it, is we're going to continue about how to hook up a transceiver into the internet or how to put a good microphone into the transceiver. Here we have a 7000. It could be anything. It could be Kenwood, Yaesu, because they all have a jack on the back of them that looks like that. And when you bought the piece of gear, remember you had a bag of little goodies, and they were all kinds of silly plugs, you thought, and fuses, and you probably took them and threw them away. Well, you shouldn't have done that. You want to keep them. And what you do is you plug into this and figure out which pins. Here in this case, for a 7000, it's pin 2, pin 11. 11 is 2, that's ground in the audio. And this allows you to take the output of a mixer. Here we have the Behringer. It could be anything, Yamaha, Elises, Mackie, any kind of a mixer, where we plug in a very high-quality microphone with balanced input. So we plug that into the channel 1. And, of course, now we have a real live super microphone into the channel. But what do you do about the output? Two things that you can do. You can then take a regular phone jack and make a cable, plug into there, and then on the other end of it, you would mount one of those special plugs. But I do a little different thing. And it's kind of interesting. I had about 4 or 5 emails about this that said, yeah, we do that too. And here's what we're talking about. Go down to your local, sometimes Radio Shelk will have them, but if not, go to Gateway Electronics or all kinds of places. I know the chat room is going to go nuts now telling where we can buy this, and we should do that because there's all types of places you can buy just a regular aluminum chassis. And you want to get into doing this, and George can show you on future episodes how to drill these and make things happen. What I got, here's one I had a noise generator in. I built this in 1957, and it still works fine. Thank you very much. I still use it, too. And it was in the same kind of a box. But what I did here, I had a box that we had made years ago. Our company was one of the first products we made, a little mixer. But what I did is I mounted 4 jacks in the back. One of them's going to be audio in. The next one's going to be audio out. And then, of course, the other one's pushed to talk. We figure from the diagram, I hope you have the owner's manual, you take the corresponding pins from this DIN plug and put it into there, and it comes out here. The audio pin will come to here. Audio out to here, push to talk to here, and of course they're grounded. So now we have a little breakout box that brings all of those fun things into there, and all I have to do is plug my audio in. Now, how cool is that? What we have there is the output of the mixer of whatever you have. It can be the Mackie or whatever mixer comes out to the input, goes through, and away you go. It works great. Well, while we're here, there's one thing that I do. These mixers are stereo. They have a pan pot. What is a pan pot? There's two outputs. This microphone, you have the input gain, your equalization, high, mid, low, have a monitor send out. Then you have a pan pot. You can assign this channel to either the left out or assign it to the right out or both of them. In this case, I assign it only to the left out. So now this is my mic gain. This becomes my microphone gain. And that drives my little box, which then in turn is connected to the output. The output is connected to the DIN plug, and in you go. You have beautiful audio in your transmitter. What do you do for receive? Well, I've been telling for a few weeks about this wonderful JBL speaker. I'm telling you, this is the greatest thing that's ever hit, but ham radio operators don't know about it yet. It's got a pair of 35-watt RMS amps, so gives you up around 100 watts peak, but we're nowhere going to use 100 watts. And this allows you, this comes, by the way, with another speaker that plugs, the output of that speaker plugs into to here, and you have two channels. Well, we're only going to use one channel here for now. I have my wire connected, and if I want to, just take the input and plug it into the output of my box. And that has connected it into the audio out of your transmitter. It's that simple. And now we have great audio with any transceiver. Because a lot of the transceivers don't have very good amplifiers and they're very distorted. No matter how much you paid for it, what the brand is, they all don't sound really good. And when you hear them through something like this, this has a woofer and a tweeter. It's amazing how good this sounds compared to the little matching speakers and all that stuff. One other thing I do, which is kind of fun, is I take the input of the speaker and I plug it into the right output. Then I take another cable, just a regular phone jack to phone jack cable, and I plug it from the output of the transceiver into another channel. Now I pan that hard right, so it doesn't show up in the output here. And now, with this panned hard right and with the output of the transceiver's receiver plugged into this channel, I now have equalization, bass, mid, treble, and I've panned it hard. Amazing sound that you can get with the receiver. And all of that from that little mixer. We've got record in and out. We can make great recordings of our stations we work. We can play back recordings like I do here. I did one earlier for you. This is an amazing thing. You're buying these things for $50 or so. It's beyond my comprehension why every amateur radio station hasn't done this. Because you can buy these for about, somebody said last night, I think John on 75 meters with Cheryl and the group said these things are like $150-$160 on Amazon, a pair. My, oh my, oh my. And this is a near field studio monitor. This is not just some little toy. It's very heavy. And of course it's JBL. And so what can I tell you? How wonderful this is. And look how simple this is. And the key is to get familiar with that DIN plug. Don't throw them away and make sure that when you do some of these wonderful things, that they're all done knowing that you're going to increase the quality of your transmissions and the quality of what you're hearing. So have fun with this, and I think you're going to agree you should have done this years ago.
It's
just a wonderful thing. George, are you doing anything like that in your station?
I sure am. I have that exact mixer feeding my rig over here. And I have a separate mixer that I'm actually using for the receive because I have a number of other sources that I need that for. But I've got stuff to give away, Bob. Do we have time to give away something?
Let's do it real quick.
Okay.
Yeah, let's do it.
Our question last week was, why did that frequency counter I built have a crystal in it? And the winner was David Hole, KE5ZZO. And he said, the crystal oscillator sets the clock speed of the microprocessor. And David, you're correct. Some people answered that it was for a reference. And that's sort of correct, too. He's going to win this MFJ-1712 telescopic handy talkie antenna with a BNC connector on it. And for next week, we've got a great prize here. This is a set of helping hands from our friends at cheapham.com. And I believe Gordo has the question for us.
All right. The big question is, what is Tim Allen's sort of real call sign for last man standing? And to help you with the answer, if you tune in this coming Thursday, Papa System on D-Star is going to be having a broadcast from Last Man Standing Studios. And John Amadeo, NN6JA, will be there. So again, what is Tim's make-believe call sign? Back to you, George.
Okay, well, I know we're running out of time, so I'll turn it back to Bob and let him decide what we need to do next.
Okay, before we get out of here, we'll bring Cheryl in. But just so you guys all know, that was a JBL Control 2P for power. BSW has them in a number of places. But look at BSW's website, and then you also can look on Amazon. All kinds of music stores carry them. But what an incredible piece that is. And everybody's got the little Behringer's R&L Electronics and Jim Shrine's DX store. Cheryl, you got a couple of minutes. Let's see what you got cooking with the chat. I know it's a lot of stuff tonight, but if you got one or two things, let's see what we can do. And greetings to you and Dave.
Cheryl just dropped off about a minute ago.
Oh, no.
Trying to get her back.
Oh, no.
All right. Well, she's probably trying to tune in on the Papa Reflector. Julian says the Papa Reflector for this coming Thursday night is 12 Charlie. Is that right, Julian? Yeah, 12 Charlie. And okay. Cheryl, we will have time for you next week because I know she's got something very funny happening. Yeah. Back to you, Bob.
Yeah, well, we'll get that back in. We're going to have to do something about our old Skype, huh? And I'll stay on with the chat room here in a little bit. But anytime you can email us, K9EID@ARRL.net. Give me a call. Look it up on my website, HighLSound.com. Call me. You got anything we can help you with? Don't be shy. We're here to help you. And we will make it all happen. Lynn, thank you very much. Alex, thank you very much. Everybody was really good tonight. I know we jammed a lot in here, and I think we got it all done. So, George?
I think we did. We had to give Alex and Lynn a big hooray for a great job on editing all these different channels coming in. Back to you, Bob.
Okay. George, we'll see you on 75. I think the guys are going to be on 7268. I think Amanda will be on there. You got a frequency you're going to be on 75 or somewhere, George?
I believe I'll try, 3838 later tonight. Of course, I'm going to try the 40-meter here in just a minute. I'm going to try the D-Star. That's Reflector 14 Module C. And if you want to listen, WX480X.com/listen. And I'll also try the Echo Link at the Do Drop In conference server, which is 355-800. And Jordan, Bob, Gordo, we'll see everyone next week.
Okay. Hey, we'll see you all later. Thanks so much, everybody. And we'll see you here on Ham Nation, and we'll let Joe Walsh play us out. You have a good week. Work a lot of good stations. We'll be right back here next week on Ham Nation. Pass the word. Have fun, everybody. This is K9EID 73.